Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Matthew 1, beginning with verse 18. Before we read, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. And we pray, Father, this morning that as we read your word, your holy word, your infallible rule of faith and life that you have given unto us, we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. We pray that your Holy Spirit would give us ears to hear, that your Holy Spirit would take your word and seal it upon our hearts. Father, we pray so in the name of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Matthew 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Old Testament reading comes from Jonah, the prophet Jonah, chapter 2. We'll be looking at the whole chapter, Jonah 2. This is our second week in looking at the prophet Jonah this Christmas season. Almost 3,000 years ago, almost 800 years before the birth of Jesus, Jonah was a prophet. A prophet called by God, a prophet sent by God to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, the ruins of which can be found today in Iraq. The Assyrian Empire was the world power in Jonah's day. Its economy was strong, its army was great, and its army was feared for its size and brutality and savagery. The Assyrian kings who ruled over this empire were proud. They lusted after power, and they desired, above all else, the expansion of their empire. The Assyrian culture was one that uplifted violence and war. They were a growing threat to God's people. Like a dark cloud, this empire was slowly approaching Israel. Now, Jonah was called by God, and he was sent by God to Nineveh, into the very heart of the enemy, to preach against it, to call out the evil, to call out the sin, to call out the pride and the brutality of the Assyrians. But rather than obey the Lord, Jonah runs. Jonah rebels. Rather than go to Nineveh, he charters a ship to sail to Tarshish, which was a city in southern Spain. So in other words, Jonah heads in the complete opposite direction of Nineveh. But as you know, you can't run from the Lord. The Lord sent a great storm upon the ship, and while the storm raged all around the ship, while the sailors feared for their lives, Jonah slept. below deck, unaware of the tempest around him. Eventually, Jonah is awakened, and he is determined to be the cause of the storm. Reluctantly, the sailors threw Jonah overboard into the sea, and immediately the storm ceased, and Jonah sinks into the depths. He sinks into the depths, and he's swallowed by a great fish, saved from the Lord from death. Now, our reading in chapter 2 today, that's what happened in chapter 1. Our reading today, chapter 2, is a prayer. Chapter 2 is a prayer of Jonah. It's a prayer in the belly of the fish. It's a prayer from the depths. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. It's a prayer that greatly echoes the Psalms. Jonah 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jonah was cast into the sea. Waters closed in upon him. Waves passed over him. The deep surrounded him. He was sinking into the flood, sinking into the depths, sinking to Sheol. Now, Sheol was the Hebrew name for the land of the dead, the grave. Jonah describes his descent to death in verse 5. Listen to verse 5 one more time. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. This is the image of a watery tomb. Seaweed wraps Jonah and envelops him, preparing Jonah for burial in the deep. Jonah sinks so low that the very roots of the mountains are present. Bars enclose him to keep him in Sheol, the grave. Death was imminent. Now, have you ever been there? Like Jonah, maybe you're there now. It's common this time of year where you feel like you're sinking, where you feel like you can't keep your head above water. It's closing in. The waves are breaking over you. A flood is coming upon you. You feel like you're descending down into the depths. Now, of course, I'm not talking about water, but I'm talking about the waves of life, the floods of life. Now, sometimes these floods, these events and circumstances of life, they're of your own making. Like Jonah, they're the consequences of your own decisions and actions, consequences of rebellion against the Lord, but other times they're not. Sometimes they are. Other times they're not. Sometimes they just happen. Or you get caught up in the events and circumstances and the consequences of others who are around you. Now, either way, however it happens, whether it just happens, whether it's consequences of your own decisions and actions, or whether you're caught up in the consequences of those around you, either way, you find yourself sinking. Perhaps sinking in depression, drowning in sorrow, descending to despair, flooded by grief, flooded by pain, flooded by anxiety, flooded by stress, overwhelmed by failure, overwhelmed by powerlessness, overwhelmed by hopelessness, weary, worn, exhausted, beaten by wave after wave after wave after wave. A wave of illness. You got to have another surgery, another long recovery, or a wave of rejection again. A wave of financial difficulty, financial loss, or financial setbacks. A wave of strained relationships, challenges in your marriage, difficulties with your children, or a wave that takes a loved one away from you to the grave. A wave of too many commitments, not enough time in the day. Or a wave of memories. A wave of memories. Another Christmas without them. Crash after crash after crash, the waters close in. How do you respond? How do you react when this happens? Do you seek distraction? Something else to focus on so you just don't have to think? And that is so easy to do in our world. We have endless entertainment at our fingertips. We carry it around in our pockets to distract us for endless hours, or at least until the battery runs out. Do you attempt to medicate yourself? And I'm not talking about professionally diagnosed medication that's necessary. I'm talking about self-medication through alcohol or other substances to numb the pain, to escape. Do you succumb to paralysis? All you want to do is sleep. You don't want to get up. Or do you deny it? That's another response where you refuse to acknowledge it. You pretend it's not there. Or do you grit your teeth, hold your head down, and push on? Well, Jonah prayed. As the waters closed in on him, as the deep embraced him, Jonah prayed. As the flood overwhelmed him, as the bars closed in upon him, Jonah prayed. Listen to verse 2 again. Verse 2 of our passage. I called out to the Lord out of my distress. Jonah called on the Lord. He called out of his distress. Now take note. This is the first time in the story that Jonah prays. The first time. When the Lord sent Jonah to Nineveh, he didn't pray. He didn't say, hey, why, Lord? Can't you send somebody else? He didn't pray. When Jonah was making the decision to run, to make a beeline for Tarshish, he didn't pray. He didn't say, Lord, should I do this? When Jonah was in the ship during the storm, he didn't pray. When the sailors were about to throw Jonah overboard, off the ship, he did not pray. Only when Jonah was sinking, only when Jonah was sinking into the depths, into the grave, did he pray. He had nothing else. He had nowhere else to turn. He was stripped of absolutely everything. I mean, think about it. He's thrown overboard, he's sinking in. He couldn't buy his way out. He couldn't plan his way out. He couldn't swim his way out. He couldn't rely on a friend or a connection to get him out. He couldn't use his credentials as a prophet. Hey, I'm a prophet. I shouldn't be. He couldn't do that. His pride was useless. Jonah had absolutely nothing left. Only the Lord. And Jonah remembered, sinking into the depths, Jonah remembered, and Jonah prayed. Jonah cried out to the Lord. Now, sometimes, like Jonah, God will use the events in your life, the circumstances around your life, the floods of your life, to open your eyes to Him so that you might know Him or remember Him if you've already met. Sometimes the Lord will strip you of everything that you have, everything that you rely upon, everything that you depend on, all the idols that you've made in your life. He will strip them from you, take away the illusion that you are in control, that you have control over your life, so that you might turn to Him. Know Him. Remember Him. Pray to Him. And follow Him. Sometimes, just like Jonah, He will strip you of your pride, and He will show you that you have been running, that you've been running from Him, that you've been in rebellion to Him, and that He did send the storm. He sent the waves. He sent the flood in order to bring you to Himself. Now, whatever the case may be, realize this, that God has been there with you. He has been there with you, always with you, in the storm, in the waves, in the flood, in the deep, with you, in control, watching over you, just like Jonah. Just like Jonah. Well, Jonah prayed. Jonah prayed in the deep. Jonah cried out to the Lord from the depths, and the Lord heard. And the Lord answered. He saved Jonah from the waters. He saved Jonah from the flood. He saved him from the waves. He saved him from the grave, sending a great fish to swallow Jonah. And from inside the fish, in the belly of the fish, Jonah prays these words in verse 9. He prays, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah acknowledges the truth, the truth that he just miraculously experienced, that salvation is not in our hands. We are not in control, as much as we like to deceive ourselves to think so. We're not, but God is. We can't save ourselves, but God can. Salvation belongs to Him. That's the message of Jonah. That's the message of Jonah. And that's also the message of Christmas. That's the story of Christmas. Our New Testament reading was the Christmas account from the Gospel of Matthew. It was the birth of Jesus from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew tells us there in chapter 1 that Mary and Joseph were engaged, that Mary and Joseph were betrothed, that they were legally pledged to be married. Now, such an engagement in that day was a binding agreement. It was a covenant, much like marriage. Well, Joseph discovered that his fiancée was pregnant. And surely he thought she had been unfaithful. What other explanation could there have been? So Joseph considered divorcing Mary quietly, not making a show of it. He didn't want to shame her. But before Joseph could follow through with his plan, before he could divorce Mary, he had a dream. And in this dream, an angel appeared to him. A messenger of God appeared to him. And listen again to the words of the angel in Matthew 1, verse 20. Listen to the words again. "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. for he will save his people from their sins. The angel tells Joseph that Mary's child is not from man, but from God. Mary has not been unfaithful. On the contrary, just the opposite, completely the opposite. The baby in Mary's womb is directly from God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. This baby is God taking on flesh, becoming human, fully human, growing and developing inside of Mary, just like you did inside your mother, just like your children did, but without ceasing to be God. Without ceasing to be God. This is God's Son, and this is the miracle of Christmas. This is the wonder of Christmas. This is the joy of Christmas, the incarnation, the enfleshing of God, that God is with us. Emmanuel. Now, the angel tells Joseph to marry Mary. Don't leave her. Don't divorce her. Take her as your wife. And the angel tells Joseph to name the child, name the son who is to be born, and name him this, name him Jesus. Name him Jesus. The child is to be named Jesus. Now, Jesus is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Yeshua. Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua. And Joshua means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. Jesus means the Lord saves. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord has come to save in Jesus Christ. To save from sin. To save from death. To save from the grave. Now, Jonah offers us a clear picture of our state before the Lord. The first two chapters of Jonah are like a mirror upon our soul. Jonah was in rebellion. He was disobeying the Lord, disobeying the word of the Lord, denying the authority of the Lord, running from the Lord, desiring to be away from the presence of the Lord. Now, our sin is rebellion. Rebellion against the Lord. When we sin, we disobey the Lord, the word of the Lord. We deny his authority. We are saying we desire to exist without him, that we're just fine on our own. So in other words, our rebellion is sinking into sin, flooded by sin, engulfed in sin, submerged in sin, and we are slowly descending into the depths, dropping toward death, minute by minute and hour by hour, destined for the grave, whose bars are enclosing in. And there's nothing we can do. Nothing that we, like Jonah, there's nothing that we can do. But the good news is Christmas has come. Christmas has come. Jesus has come. The Lord saves has come. He has descended from heaven, born to Mary in Bethlehem. Salvation belongs to him. And Jesus Christ has entered the depths for you. He's faced the flood for you, entered the grave for you, and he's conquered. He has calmed the waters. He has broken the bars. He has shaken the roots of the mountains, and he's risen victorious, bringing you out of the depths, pulling you out of the waters. He saved you from sin and death. Signified in your baptism. Salvation belongs to him. In other words, Jesus has descended so that you might ascend to life, to him, to the Father. This is Christmas. And that's the story of Jonah. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jesus Christ is born. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that though we were sinking in sin, sinking toward the grave, you sent your Son, born of Mary, born to save, We thank you that Jesus has descended into the depths and that he has risen victorious and he has brought us out of the depths. Father, give us joy in that good news. Joy as we celebrate the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.